RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Morning Val and
Beans. Frank, thanks for doing Friday's show.
How'd you like it? Did you listen?
I listened to about half of it. I didn't get to finish the whole thing because I have not stopped all week. I'm exhausted.
I know. Well, I think it was a nice tight half hour. I liked it so much that a couple of days after the episode went live, I even mirrored it on my own SoundCloud. So
you were very animated.
It went surprisingly smooth for sitting down in a chair and taking 5 minutes to open up some tabs. And I didn't do any preparation. So,
well, good. It was great.
I just hope I didn't bring dishonor to your house.
No. And okay. You know what? I'm sitting in a fly-free room for the first time in a few days.
Good for you.
Yeah. So all is well with the world. So this week was very busy for me. Friday was absolutely insane. And then Saturday I went to Columbia and did the rally on the steps of the State House against vaccine mandates. We probably had a few hundred people come. It was great. And then yesterday I worked with my dad all day on this bed that we're building for Helga that we need to have finished before I go to New York. So it's like go time. Built this huge bed. It's like cabinets. Wood cabinets, and then the bed sits on top of them in like a special frame, and it has, you know, a ladder, and it has rails, and I had to sand all that stuff yesterday. So I was sanding, like, that wasn't the first day I did it, but I had to try and finish. So like for like 7 hours yesterday I sanded, and then I had my GOP Christmas party last night, and I gotta tell you, Roger, the chair of the GOP here, was like giving a really beautiful couple words. And he was like, do me a favor, stand up here today if this is the first time you've ever gone to the GOP Christmas party. And everyone stood up. The entire party is brand new. None of the old people came because
that's awesome.
They don't like us, Frank.
To hell with them all.
To hell with them all.
And you can tell them I said that, too.
I will.
I don't care anymore.
So it was good. I don't care either. I really don't. But it was a really nice night. Helga came. I won a Let's Go Brandon Christmas, like, wood placard with the Santa hat on it, which will be sitting outside tomorrow.
Good. Yeah, did you guys decorate your house at all yet?
We don't decorate the outside of our house. We just don't do it. We never have. We've decorated the inside.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. Not even a wreath or anything?
No.
Scrooges?
Yeah, I need my husband's helped to do that, and he has no desire whatsoever. It's been rough with him because he lost family close to the holidays years ago. And so he never really has ever been a big Christmas guy because it just reminds him of what happened.
It takes a lot. That's why I just like to soak it up for as long as you can, because as time goes on, we all know that life delivers losses, and the holidays, there's nothing more family oriented than the holidays. So once you start losing, I understand it completely.
Yeah. So he's a Scrooge. He just puts a Scrooge hat on, literally. I'm being serious. And it's been a rough time with him since I've met him on the holidays, but he's getting better. I got him to put a few ornaments on the tree. You know, he's because it's my favorite holiday. I love Christmas time. I love it. I listen to the music all the time. I sing the music, and when I'm alone, it's like a happy time for me. So,
yeah,
poor Will.
Well, don't worry, happy times are coming.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going up to New York for Christmas. So we'll have more memories to make.
Yeah,
yeah.
Too bad you guys weren't coming up this week, because then we're having the studio Christmas party this Saturday night.
Damn it!
And I'm going to be doing a little, you know, while that's all going on, I'm going to stream for about an hour, just have people cycle in and out. And
that's fun.
Yeah, I just figured I can kill two birds with one stone and do my Saturday night broadcast in that setting.
That would be great, because you have good Christmas parties, and like, people are always so festive and happy.
Well, we'll see. This is the first time we've done it in 2 years. Wow. You know,
yeah.
People might show up wearing, you know, the spacesuits from E.T. I don't know. We're probably going to have a bunch of really upset New Yorkers in the house. We have many of them are coming from the city. All of our old friends that we used to play gigs with that all have bands and stuff like that. There's already so much upset people because of what's going on in New York. And now today to wake up and hear this, man, did you hear this?
No, what?
This is today. Where the hell? Hold on a second. Let me get it. This is this morning. I saw this. CBS New York breaking. Mayor de Blasio announces new vaccine mandate for private companies.
Oh, he announced it. New York City.
Yeah.
What are they saying?
It doesn't. Here, let me see. This is we're in the city. We in the city have decided to use a preemptive strike to really do something bold to stop the further growth of COVID and the dangers it's causing all of us, de Blasio said in an interview on MSNBC. So as of today, we're going to announce a first in the nation measure. Our health commissioner will announce a vaccine mandate for private sector employees across the board.
He's not allowed to do that.
Especially since these mandates are getting destroyed in court, at least as of now. The DOD got BTFO'd by saying that they can no longer go out and lie to people about these vaccines being fully licensed and passed. That's another thing. And you even have the manufacturers themselves publishing literature now saying these shots increase heart inflammation, heart problems.
That they're safe and effective, Frank.
This is all within the last week. It's open source. It's not a misinterpretation.
No,
You're either ignoring it completely or you're not. That's it.
It's something else, especially like, you know, I said on Saturday, it's not a case of whether or not the vaccines work, which we know they don't. It's not a case of whether or not you've been naturally infected and you have natural immunity, because that doesn't matter. It's a case of whether or not the government has the right to tell you you must inject something into your body no matter what. That's what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's the most safe, effective, beneficial treatment on the face of God's green earth. You have the right to say no if you want to, or you should. What is he going to do? Everybody's going to quit in New York? I so hope, Frank, that every single private citizen in New York just stops working.
It's put up or shut up time in New York City.
Seriously.
It really is. It's put up or shut up time. This is it. You saw, I didn't even know that this happened, Tracy, but this was published on November 8th. You saw the American Heart Association.
Yep. Now.
This is November 8th.
So, yes, November 8th, they put this report out that everybody's talking about now that Twitter labeled dangerous.
Yeah.
There was, of course, a counter study saying, oh, they didn't use proper data or this wasn't conducted in the right way, blah, 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 blah. So there is a counter narrative to this. So they're, I think they took it off of preprint or something, or they added a disclaimer to it or whatever, but just letting you know. So there is some question from the powers that be now, whether or not that's accurate. I know that it is. And so do you, but you know, hey,
you didn't use the right data. Simply just ignore this and say that it is safe. That's the data.
Yeah. Because these are people that ran these tests on their own patients. They checked levels on their own patients who are in for heart issue after vaccination and before. And all of the vaccinated patients are showing a ridiculous like 20 or 30 fold increase in this chemical that proves heart inflammation. But it's safe and effective.
Oh, boy.
So what now? What is New York City going to do?
That's yet to be seen.
And what does fully vaccinated mean, de Blasio? What does it mean? Does it mean one dose? Does it mean three? Will it mean six? What does it mean?
Forever and ever. It's like getting a monthly subscription somewhere that you can't cancel.
This is why I don't want to go. Like, I love my family and I can't wait to see them, but I have zero desire to set foot back in New York State. It is such a horrible place. I don't know how you last there, man. I really don't, with all this craziness around you all the time. Not like it's much better here.
I tell you, you know what? Like I said, I don't know how long ago with you.
It's better than you, but it's not good.
Well, yeah, I understand. But, you know, some people say, how are things up there? And I know just by what I'm reading, what's going on inside of this in Albany, what local politicians, what activist groups, what the media are doing. I understand. And I understand that this is a major focal point of the evil, New York. But honestly, it's. I don't know. There's, I don't know what anybody in my town is doing. I don't, you don't really see that many people. You try your best to stay in touch digitally and text and FaceTime, and maybe you run into somebody here and there, but there's no social life. It's very, very weird. It's very weird.
Was there a social life before?
Yeah. Oh yeah. As far as it goes where you're going out to dinner to, I mean, that's the best thing to do around my area. People come up from the city to eat where I live. You know, just, we're right there on the Metro North line, out of Grand Central. And so there's that, there's all types of entertainment. There's gigging. I mean, if you're a musician, you have to completely bend over. You have to bend over and take it to be able to go out there confidently and play, to show your papers, to play. I know quite a few people who've already gotten fake vaccine cards so they can play gigs and things like that. And I say more power to you.
People are being prosecuted for that now.
You know what? People don't give a shit. And I understand that once you get caught, you're like, oh, damn, I shouldn't have done it. But you know what? The fact that everybody is willing to make these decisions to live like a semi-free person is a nightmare.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And so I found out on Friday, Frank, it drove me absolutely insane. Let's talk about this for a second. So as you know, Helga's a singer. William is a singer. They're in chorus, the arts. And they're in school and they do all the things. And every time, you know, every year they have to have fundraisers because the arts are always, as you probably understand, woefully underfunded by the school district in favor of sports. The arts don't get funding. They don't get money. So they have to raise it from the parents. So they do all kinds of events all year long to fundraise, to run their programs and actually have things. It's so bad sometimes that in the summertime, or even when we go to a concert that's after hours in the auditoriums, they won't put the AC on because it costs them more money. So we have to sit there sweating our behinds off because they won't put on the AC. And the poor chorus teacher is like screaming, you know, I've asked them, I don't understand. Poor woman. She has to like take the brunt of all the parents pissed off and family and whatever. And so somebody brought this to my attention. It had been released in November. But I'm like so angry, and I sprung into action on this one. DHEC, which is the South Carolina Department of Health, has banded together with the Department of Education, Frank. I'm going to read this to you. The okay. South Carolina Department of Education has partnered with DHEC to launch a statewide jingle competition, encouraging K-12 students to channel their creativity for a COVID-19 vaccine campaign. The winning jingle will be professionally recorded and featured in a statewide radio advertisement in 2022. The winner school will also receive $10,000 towards the school's music program. The runner-up will receive $5,000 for their school, and third place prize is $3,000. They are encouraging schools where kids can't even make this decision, nor is it FDA approved for them to take, to make jingles about how great the vaccine is. So in some sort of weird, twisted, evil propaganda campaign, using tax dollars as a carrot to these poorly, woefully underfunded music programs that would probably soil themselves over $10,000 just to keep themselves running, to get supplies.
Hey, all you band geeks, if you want to keep your DNA intact, you better start doing car washes again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there
better start selling those chocolate bars.
There is so much wrong with this. Like, it's basically like you can submit these submissions like individually. So like I said, if you had a bunch of really cool kids in your school, because Viv was like, I guess I'm going to be writing an anti-vaccine song all weekend. And I'm like, you know, if you had a bunch of really cool kids in your school, you could submit like hundreds of those, hundreds and hundreds of them, just overwhelm the system with nasty vaccine story songs. Like this one, for example, that has caught on all over the world. It is so easy. It is so simple. And it's so effective. Here, listen to this.
Hold on. You can stick your vaccine mandates up your ass. You can stick your vaccine mandates up your ass.
it goes on. Hold on, wait.
I'm keeping time over here.
So he's singing it there. Here's a rally outside of a government building overseas.
Yeah.
I am perfectly happy reciting and singing that at the top of my lungs anytime.
I wish I was in that crowd, man.
You can stick your vaccine mandate up your ass. You know, somebody unsubscribed from Uncover DC because of our language on the podcast, Frank.
I keep apologizing.
Listen, I'm just as guilty.
But I think I'm a bad influence on you is the problem.
Whatever the case may be, it's a sign of the times. And if you were standing with me in person, I'd be worse.
Well, you know, listen, I understand that there is a time for etiquette and there's a time for decorum and all that. But, you know, we're facing a genocide right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And anybody who gets squeamish over some unsavory language coming from and I just don't understand how you are equipped to face the horror that is still ahead of us.
I agree. If the word ass is something that you can't handle,
man, you're just not equipped. You're not equipped. You're going. What is coming our way? Anybody that gets squeamish over some naughty language from time to time is really they're going to be begging for it.
And I make
begging for the good old days of Frank and Tracy saying ass, making references to poop.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that's a very simple. It's catchy. You know, you can memorize that and sing it wherever you are, whenever they come at you with vaccine mandate. Like if we could get about 1 million in private employees in New York City and just get them all in Times Square and have them sing that to de Blasio, I think we'd be happy.
And de Blasio's out of there in like a month.
I know. That's what happens with lame duck people. That's what the lame duck guy Cirilli here did in South Carolina. He pulled a fast one on everyone to end session because he's a lame duck. Yep. So did you hear about this whole thing that Republicans signed on and voted for this legislation for a vaccine database?
Yes.
It is funding to keep track of who has been vaccinated and who hasn't. And then, you know, run a campaign to remind them when they're due for new vaccines and blah, blah, blah.
Yay, Republicans. Go get those Democrats. Yay.
Well, Dan Crenshaw made a video. Good old Dan Crenshaw. He made a video telling his side of the story. Here we go.
Okay, real talk. Time to debunk some lies. Watch from our own side this time. So this one's about the vaccine database that you keep hearing about. Like, that's what got voted on in Congress. And people are mad because some Republicans voted for it, some didn't. All right, here's the truth on it. Every Republican up here, by the way, knows that particular bill, which was Republican-led, actually makes it harder to track vaccine information on the individual level. It actually decreases the amount of money that was originally allocated for these systems by the Biden administration. So let's back up. Let me tell you the full story. There are something called immunization information systems at every state. These have long existed. In the American Rescue Plan, passed entirely by Democrats, no Republicans voted for it, they added about $500 million to that system and told states to, quote, make them better, right? They didn't put any guardrails. They didn't put any details. They just said, make them better. Now, this worried Republicans because we're worried about these authoritarian blue state governors that indeed do want to track your data and do want to employ vaccine mandates and passports and the such. And so there was a Republican-led effort for this exact provision to decrease the funding for it and ensure that if states take that money, they have to make the data anonymous and only collect it at the population level so that you can't be tracked. So the Republicans screaming about this bill saying it's bad, it does the exact opposite of what they're saying. And they know that, but they also don't like explaining votes to you. That's the truth.
So he's saying we actually did something good for you.
Yeah. And it's all anonymous. You know, nobody's, we don't know. We don't know who's who and who lives where and what their medical information is. That's now been compiled. Another data point compiled by a completely traitorous government. Yeah. Now, this guy's a dumb pirate bitch.
I have another bridge to sell you in Brooklyn, by the way, if you want to buy it.
Ugh.
I don't know what I, you know what, this is the harsh reality of it. If you listen to the Marjorie Taylor Greene interview, Frank, which I don't know if you did, but she explained how this works. This kind of stuff happens all the time in Congress. It happens in every state. It's back. It's manipulative, but it's just the way things work. So like, that's why whenever somebody comes out with a list of people who's voted for something and it looks like something that we should really hate, and the votes on it really don't make sense. Like, why would so-and-so vote for that? That doesn't make any sense. You have to like figure out what is actually really happening, because a lot of the time it's not what it looks like. Like a lot of the time it's like, okay, we have to vote for this so that this, or it's politics. It's the game of politics that's being played here as usual. Yeah. Not that I give anybody a pass. I mean, but
yeah.
At least, yeah. You know, the Madison Cawthorn came out and explained, remember? There was another time that we played another clip from Madison Cawthorn who voted on something and he was trying to explain why.
I believe it was the NDAA, no?
It was something like that. I don't remember what program it was, but when he explained it, it was like, ah, okay, now I get it. Now I get it. Sucks. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you're available, but this was the only time she could do it. Did you happen to catch Julie Kelly on with Bannon this weekend? She did basically, she did a walkthrough, a timeline of the January 6th stuff at a very basic level with Bannon, who, you know, he has a lot of stuff to say also. So was very much interrupting her. And I was listening, like banging my car console, because I wanted to hear more of what she had to say. She was alluding to some things about some of these cases and some things that happened in the tunnel where that one protester was shot. Beaten to death. Remember I told you that my former roommate from college announced that, Kara?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that woman, Roseanne Boylan, was trampled and beaten by an officer. I've seen the video. He beats her and she died.
With a stick?
With a baton that's meant to break windows over the head repeatedly.
Okay, then I did see that, yeah.
So she died and they said it was from a drug overdose. Of course, it wasn't. They're doing an independent autopsy. Anyway, Julie Kelly has made this her story. The way that Spygate was my story, January 6th is her story. She has gotten all of the exclusives outside of Revolver. She's really one of the only journalists who has taken this on. The way that I have embraced COVID, she has embraced 1/6. And sometimes that happens with people, like journalists will get a story and they will not let go of it. It just holds, you know, they're obsessed with it. It happens to me with some certain topics where you get a story and you're just like, holy crap, this is, everybody needs to know about this. So she's going to be coming on to talk with us about 1/6. She gave me a full hour. We're going to interview today at 4. I don't know if that's too late for you.
Yes.
Okay. So that was the only time she could do it before Wednesday, and something big's supposed to happen on Wednesday. So we'll air it on Wednesday. I'll record it. We'll do our normal show and I'll put it at the end. But okay. Julie Kelly is going to do a breakdown on 1/6 and what the hell is going on. And you're not going to want to miss it.
Can't wait.
Crazy stuff. So there's that. I texted her as soon as I finished listening to that Bannon segment. Because there's like 1,000 hours of footage that they haven't released yet that they're trying to get released. And they won't release the footage because did you see this new group, Frank?
The Patriot Front.
Yeah.
Yeah. The group that nobody's ever heard of before that showed up. They were all in perfectly uniformed scarves and glasses and personal shields and knee pads. And they're walking in formation. It has been rehearsed. They had a drummer boy.
Right down the National Mall, unimpeded by anybody.
Then they all loaded up into a U-Haul box trucks.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what we do. That's what we do. Like, it's so laughable. Like, somebody said this to me yesterday. It's so ridiculous that even CNN won't cover it.
Yeah.
Like, it is such a farce.
It's probably all of what's his name? Rick, Lincoln Project? Oh. Rick Wilson?
Rick Wilson, yes.
Yeah, it's probably him and all of his cousins. And then, of course, a small battalion of FBI agents.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sick. It's gross. It's like they have tear gas. They're just able to do. You know that none of us would be able to get away with that if we actually went down to the National Mall and tried to do something like that. The second we appeared dressed that way, it would be over, and we never would. We never would.
Yeah, I know. I know. And watching people who actually believe it, of course. Am I the only one who thinks this is terrifying? Says Joyce Aline. Pathetic, but also Joyce, terrifying.
Wasn't it some fake account that changed its name and photo and stuff? Like
with the blonde chick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something. It's a really, really strong lead that this was some kind of a Patsy account. And as far as the face goes, it could have just been computer generated. I was following those stories back in 2014 or 15, where CGI computer generated faces that are made from composites of all different types of faces all over the internet, where you would never know that these people, legions of people that don't exist. And here you have this girl who really, it seems all indications seem like it was just a shell account that was made to be retweeted by mainstream media who just wanted to be able to say, well, we saw something that was, I don't know, intriguing or seemed legitimate.
Yeah.
It's insane. Mm. Nutty, nutty.
Crazy. Crazy. So the Waukesha guy, his family released a statement. They say that when he was a kid, he was diagnosed with mental health issues. But when he became an adult, they said he didn't have them anymore.
Whoa, Waukesha guy. The terrorist from the truck.
Yep. Yeah. The terrorist that killed everybody. And they say, you know, they apologize for what he did. And they say that they're actually absolutely heartbroken by it. And it's terrible. And they give their condolences to the families of those whose lives were so tragically taken and all who were injured, as well as the community of Waukesha. We're deeply saddened and our hearts are torn to pieces over what happened on a day set aside for community to come together and celebrate. What was meant to be a joyous day became a day of tragedy and heartache, a day that we wish with all of our heart would never have happened. And then they say Daryl did not come from a bad family, like many people have said. He came from a loving Christian family and is the grandson of ministers.
Who cares?
Daryl.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Seriously, who cares?
Daryl has suffered from mental health issues since he was very young. In those years, he received counseling and was on medication. When he became an adult, a decision was made that he no longer suffered from a mental illness. That decision left him with no insurance or financial means to pay for medication and, when determined, necessary counseling. Mental illness is not cheap to treat, but what's more important, dollars spent on treatment and recourses or lives. But what's more important, dollars spent on treatment and recourses or lives lost. Instead of offering help and resources to combat the problem, a jail cell was given over and over again. When mental illness is not properly treated, the person becomes sicker and sicker. It doesn't.
So what happened? Where did he get this mental illness from? A place, a playground swing set or something? Where did he catch it?
I don't know. Sometimes people are born just not right, Frank.
Yeah. Well, no, obviously that's not the case with him, because he came up in a very, very nice household and he had a nice, loving Christian background and everything was fine until one day he was mentally ill. That's what it sounds like.
Well,
so I would love to know where he caught the mental illness.
We're not making excuses, they say.
But you are.
I know. We believe what happened is because he was not given the help and resources he needed.
Okay.
So it's, in other words, society, not you, not his minister grandfathers, not your family, not your local community together saying, oh my gosh, he's troubled. We need to help him.
Yeah, we need trillions more dollars to give to the Daryls of the world. Mm-hmm. Trillions more dollars. That'll make their mental illness abate.
Mental illness is real and the system is broken. It must be fixed now.
Yeah,
not
okay.
Next year or with the new legislation now.
Okay, how you do that? Tell us how. Give me the solution right now. Well, I have a solution. We need to have a conversation.
So many like Daryl that have fallen through the cracks because of a broken system that no one is cared to address can get the help they so desperately need.
It's the system. The system.
Yeah, the system is, to be honest, most of the time. Now, we're going to get into the school shooter in a second. But most of the time, it's these parents, these kids who were on SSRI medication when they shouldn't be, whose brains are normal, but they're doped up with medicine because they figure, hey, why not? Let's, you know, they're depressed. Let's give them. If anything, there's an overwhelming amount of psychiatry going on that shouldn't be. Just put everybody on pharmaceuticals that mess with their brain chemistry. Why don't you? So now let's turn to Michigan, because there's a lot more to this story I don't think that we're getting.
I don't know too much about it, to be honest. I just know that there's a school shooting and some parents were on the run for. But why were they? Is this the first time that parents have been?
Yes. And there's no law, Frank.
But because I don't understand that. Why were they trying to get the parents and charging them? Did they help him draw up his plans to shoot people or what? What is this?
Well, this is where there's a question, and I'm curious about it too, because there is no statute in Michigan that says if you own a gun and somebody you know or your child takes it and shoots somebody with it, that you're responsible. There's no law. There's no crime there. So they're basically charging these parents on something that doesn't exist unless there's something that we don't know. So I've seen a whole bunch of different stuff. None of it I can verify independently. So just rumor mill incoming. Okay. Just very big disclaimer. Everybody understand that what I'm about to say, I have not independently verified myself, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I've seen it in Heavy, which has been following this. Heavy has done like a whole bunch of different profiles on this. So it appears that the mother of this boy sent a text message to her son that said, don't do it, the day of the shooting. So they were supposed to turn themselves in at 2. The guy, the father, legally purchased the weapon. And of course, it's come out that the mother has written a note to Donald Trump back in the day. So they're apparently conservative. So of course, we have to go at them with everything in the universe. The boy is being charged as an adult. He killed, I think it's 5 people now, maybe 6, which is terrible. I can't even imagine. Like, there's a video floating around of kids inside of a classroom recording him pretending to be a sheriff. And then he slips up and says, bro, and everybody realizes that it's not him, because the kids were like, we don't want to really open the door for you, dude. We don't know who you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was terrible and horrible tragedy. And so now they're charging the parents. But the DA came out and said, like, everybody has a right to self-defense. We are not punishing the fact that this man purchased a firearm. However, there are things that we can't say right now. The parents are, you know, supposed to come turn themselves in it, too. And they never did. Now, there are some conflicting stories saying that they were out of the state, or they weren't nearby, or they fled because they were so, like, you know, overwhelmed with everything, and that they were traveling back. They were pulled over late at night at like 11:30 somewhere near where a couple, like, where they were supposed to be, and they were brought in. But there's more to this story. Like, it's not just this cut and dry. There's something else going on here. I'm just saying.
I'd assume the same. And that's with I have zero. Such a limited knowledge of what's going on, because at this point, I just I don't know. You want to talk about mental illness and things like that? It's not even just the chemical aspect. There is so many aspects of our society that is just downright hypnotic, that it's just, you can hook anybody in with anything, and we're going to get an unlimited supply of tragedy that can be exploited. It's just a waiting game. It really is. That's why I understand that, you know, false flags, the whole idea, that's a very popular term these days. Both sides use it. One says that one thing or another is, the other one talks about how it isn't, and blah, blah, blah. And there's a rich history of false flags that are all over the place that are meant to trigger some kind of political action that has been preordained. But as I've said, even going back to Parkland shooting, it really is just a matter of, we are such a poorly cobbled together a country as far as the system goes. And it's very poorly in a premeditated way. We are a system that creates tragedy through the lack of morals, through the confusion on every social level. We're very antisocial. We're addicted to drugs. It's a police state. There's so much going on. And then on the flip side of things, you also discourage people from being able to defend themselves. So while you're creating a nation of absolute insane people, who have been detached from reality and all sense of morals, as I said, then what do you have? Just sitting ducks. So there's plenty of tragedy to harp on. The media really just has their pick. What do you want to focus on? What do you want to blow up? And what do you want to extrapolate out to the rest of the country to create one narrative or another, or reinforce one narrative or another? And that's the scariest thing about all this stuff, because it also just numbs us out. When I hear that this kid shot classmates and some of them died in Michigan, well, I know them. Those are families that are going to be destroyed forever now. But I'm dead inside to it.
I know, which is really sad. I know. I have more info on this actually from the Daily Mail. The way they frame this, I don't necessarily will agree with. They say the couple was found hiding in a Detroit art studio less than a mile from the Canadian border. The way the article is framing it is as though they were trying to flee to Canada, which would be impossible. They would never be able to do that. So I don't know that that makes sense. They were booked into Oakland County Jail. Their son, Ethan, 15, is being held at the same jail. A tipster led them to their abandoned car on the east side of Detroit, where they were found in a building early Saturday. James Crumbly purchased the handgun police say his son used to kill four. Social media posts indicate the 9mm Sig Sauer was a Christmas gift from the parents to the teen. Days before the shooting, Jennifer warned son, learn not to get caught, after he researched gun ammo at school. She also posted a photo of the gun to social media, mom and son day testing out his new Christmas present. The judge announced that the parents' bond has to be paid in full, $500,000. They have to wear a GPS tracker if they make bail. They were crying, obviously, because who wants to be arrested and put in jail? I'll put this article in the show notes. It makes me very sad.
Yeah.
They have a prior criminal history, apparently. The U.S. Marshals had offered a bounty for them of $10,000. And somebody got that $10,000.
This is so the parents, they have criminal history in their background.
It says that they briefly brushed past their attorneys, brushed past their prior criminal history and asked for a bail of $15,000. Okay. It says here that at 2 to 3 p.m. on December 3rd, the couple were seen near Rochester Hills before leading authorities on a manhunt, withdrawing $4,000 from an ATM before leaving the motel they had been staying in. They were supposed to be arraigned at 4, but never showed up and stopped communicating with their attorneys. Crumley's attorney said that they had left for their own safety and were not on the run. Then later, the Oakland County Sheriff complained that after the charges were announced, he didn't get an advance warning of the charges being filed against the pair and learned of them from media reports. 10 o'clock at night, tipster reports the abandoned Kia in a neighborhood. Abandoned. It seems like they just got out of it and went somewhere else. Not that it was abandoned. The way they say abandoned, you'd think that like it was like left with the doors wide open in the middle of a field somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then they had a manhunt in the area leading to their capture in the basement of an art studio less than a mile from the Canadian border. This is another case where I'm going to tell you, I'm not making this car that was supposedly abandoned is parked in a parking spot. And I'm not making any judgments about this whatsoever until after more information comes out, because I can tell the media spin on this is already out off the chain, off the chain.
Well, you're talking about this before. It's no surprise to me that that everybody is having very reasonable, nuanced conversations about mental health for the Waukesha terrorist. And that's just completely out of the public consciousness already.
I know.
It's just gone. It's just out of the public consciousness already. And we have moved on to something a little bit more viable. Which is horrible in itself, because like I said before, there are families whose lives have been forever changed for the worst. But this is just what we're living through. It's terrible.
Well, it's that coupled with this. Here's Caitlin Bennett. Listen.
Are there?
How many continents are there?
Mom asks me this every day. 13.
What continent are we on right now?
I'm not from Florida. I don't know.
Which one are we in right now?
South America?
Have we ever had a female vice president in the United States?
Yes, Hillary Clinton.
What continent is Mexico located in?
If you go South Mexico, it's in Australia. Wait, hold on. No. Wait.
Mexico?
Wait. Are we talking about the same Mexico?
Can you name the seven continents?
Yes. North America, South America, Asia, Europe. I know there's another one.
Ryan, one, do you know?
Let him have it. Canada.
Welcome back to Liberty Hangout. I'm Caitlin Bennett. Wait, just kidding. I'm not Caitlin Bennett. My name's Savannah Hernandez.
My name's Caitlin Bennett. And I'm here with Savannah. I let her on my channel today.
Yeah.
We're doing another episode of Pop Quiz on the Beach.
This is really sad, Frank.
Let's get into it. Are they going to enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
I don't want to see all this. I just want to hear the stupid people. Come on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yes. You want me to answer who it is?
What's her name?
I'm a very confident guy.
Okay, all right, very good. That's a good quality to have. Has there ever been a woman vice president?
Yes. That is yes or no, yes. You want me to answer who it is?
They don't even know.
What's her
name? Don't even know that right now. Right at this very moment where that while they're standing there on the beach, Kamala Harris is the vice president of the United States.
Well, they have opinions on everything else, though. And I know you say, well, it's a very small sample.
No, this is
very indicative.
It is.
I mean, this is the reason why they have to cheat in elections, because outside of the fact that those who are paying attention know how bad things are and know where most of the shit is coming from, there are so many more who are just completely checked out because the other half of the culture is really just completely zonked out. They're so poorly educated and they don't understand that. Yeah. The bad education, it does create pliable morons, but it also creates a lot of indifferent people, you know? So
do you want to hear more?
Yeah, please. I love this.
It's the girl that was just, I really don't know. I don't know, but I know there was one, but I cannot tell you. I'm not into politics like that. I know it's the
I'm not into politics like that.
Light girl? Light skin girl?
Mexican?
Yeah, there you go. I can't, I don't know. I'm sorry.
She Mexican? Who knows?
I really don't.
She'll say anything to get a couple votes at this point. Okay, all right,
so we're going to start off with our first question. Has the U.S. ever had a female vice president?
No.
No?
No.
Who is our current vice president?
Current president? I'm a dumb. I am. No, because we do have a current vice president. I forget her name. It is female.
She's female?
Yeah.
We do have a current vice president.
Yeah.
Don't know her name?
No, unfortunately. No.
But she is a girl?
She is a girl.
Are you assuming her gender right now?
Ooh.
I'm kidding.
Name the first woman vice president.
I don't want to say it the way I want to say it because we're on camera now. Hold on.
What's her damn name?
Say the question one more time.
Say the question.
First woman vice president.
I know this. It's not coming to my head.
What's that chick's name?
All right, y'all. So we're here today with the Ryans on the beach, and we're going to pit them against each other and see which one's the smarter Ryan here. So if you don't get the question right, then I'll go to him, and we'll see. We'll just keep doing it that way until we get all the questions right. So we'll start with Ryan 1. Ryan 1, have we ever had a female vice president in the United States?
Yes, Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Who is the current vice president of the United States?
Kamala Harris. Yeah, I messed that up, didn't I?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Ellie, you recovered. You recovered. You're right.
Hey, y'all want to get in an interview?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're taking over.
I'll take over for y'all. We got it.
All right, geography. How many continents are there?
I want to say three.
I can't.
I know. You know what's almost as gratifying? Watching all of the coverage of Chris Cuomo having.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Tell me, you know, we were talking about children's table at holidays and stuff like that. What do you think? What do you think the seating arrangement at the Cuomo house is going to be for Christmas this year?
Well, I mean, Babylon Bee had a thing. unemployment rate amongst Cuomo's hits 100%.
Yeah, 100% unemployment for the Cuomo brothers.
He actually was fired because a woman came forward with sexual assault claims against him. Chris, did you know that?
That's what was going on?
Yes.
Okay, so while he was suspended, a sexual assault claim came in, yes. And then they terminated him.
Yep.
Oh.
Did you see Stelter and Acosta having to announce this? Stelter's probably so happy.
Well, why? Because he's the main potato there now?
Yeah, now he can take over Chris Cuomo's location. They had
he's a prima potata.
They had a panel over the weekend where it was this guy talking about media bias. And he actually talked for like 90 seconds straight and nobody interrupted him, talking about how horrible the media has done on both print and, you know, the same crap we hear from somebody, some lone wolf that gets to talk for more than 5 seconds on CNN, and Stelter sitting there with his eyes scrunched. You know how he normally sits there all serious with that look on his face? Like, I'm yes. important and I'm sitting here listening to the scholar speak.
Yes, he's very somber.
He's a very
serious,
important potato.
Yeah, this is very important news. The fate of our other the fate of our newscasters is now news.
Yeah,
we're going to sit here and talk about how our newscasters are the news now.
Well, I mean, you never want to be the story. Never. You don't want to be the story. And just a couple more things on the COVID front real quick. They have now recalled a batch of remdesivir, Frank.
Okay.
55,000 vials of remdesivir due to, just wait, glass contamination.
What does that mean?
There are glass particulates in the suspension. It could cause clots, stroke, and death. Gilead noted to death, to date, it had not received any reports of adverse events related to the recall, but that's only because the drug kills people anyway, and they're not reporting any of that, so why would they report a stroke from it when they'll just say, oh, he has COVID. He had a stroke. Oh, he has COVID.
Or post COVID stress disorder. Yes. Did you hear this?
Or winter, Frank. Winter.
Yeah.
Winter.
They said that now people, young people are developing heart conditions because of post COVID stress. So that's what it, what was it? Hold on, wait, there's a crazy number that they use. Where the hell is it? Post-COVID stress. Oh, here you go. Up to 300,000 people facing heart-related illnesses due to post-pandemic stress disorder. Oh, it's the post-pandemic.
You know, I'm interested in
behind us. Okay.
How many veterans suffering from PTSD have heart problems? Anyone?
I've never heard this before.
You've never heard of PTSD causing heart problems?
Well, I'll put it to you this way, and I'm sure that many people in the audience have could agree with me. I am constantly under stress.
Me too. Me too.
And I just went to get my physical 3 weeks ago, and my blood pressure was just fine, and everything's okay, and I live under constant stress. And then, of course, we have communal stress now that we're all underneath. We're all living underneath the same global attack. So we have our personal lives, and now we have this communal stress that is building on all of us. My ticker is just fine.
Frank, although, did they do a cognitive test?
No. I have the same. My cognitive test is done every night at 7 o'clock. if I'm going nuts, people will know. But then again, listen, I'm not the president of the United States, so.
There's more on this too. There was winter vagina, Frank.
I covered that one as well.
So there's winter vagina, which is when women have heavier periods during the winter with massive issues and dry skin.
And hard time self-lubricating.
Mm-hmm. That's a new thing. And somehow all of us have made it through every single winter without realizing that winter cold can cause blood clots and heart attacks. I never knew that. Brand new to me. And also, a red flag that I'm noticing before we end today, Frank. Let's go through some VAERS data real quick.
Okay.
Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released data showing a total of 927,740 reports of adverse events following COVID vaccines. This is for the period of time between December 14th, 2020 and November 26th, 2021. 19,532 deaths, 146,720 serious injuries, including deaths during the same time period, which was up about 3,300 deaths from the previous week. Mm-hmm. They're now doing things differently on VAERS. I just want everybody to know, I raised this point. Some people agreed with me because I don't spend every day reading these reports because they really, truly break my heart. So I don't like sitting there reading everybody's story, but they're starting to just randomly put in reports from people that they don't verify. They're tainting their own data. They're trying to use random reports. Like somebody submitted a report that said your vaccines aren't good for anybody and they included it. They would never have done that before, ever. So they're trying to pollute their data so that they can come out and say, oh yeah, these reports, it's from everybody. It has nothing. That's what they're doing. Just understand that this has recently changed within the past 2 to 3 weeks. It's gross.
Yeah. Sounds it.
So, There were 60 reports of anaphylaxis among 12 to 17 year olds where the reaction was life threatening and required treatment or resulted in death. 96% of those cases were attributable to Pfizer. 563 reports of myocarditis and pericarditis, with 553 cases attributed to Pfizer. 139 reports of blood clotting disorders, all of those attributed to Pfizer. 19% of deaths were cardiac. 54% were male, 42% female. The average age was 72. 4,480 pregnant women reported adverse events related to COVID vaccines, including 1,411 reports of miscarriage or premature birth. Of the 3,219 cases of Bell's palsy, 51% were attributed to Pfizer, 41% to Moderna, and 8% to J&J. There were 764 reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome, with 42% attributed to Pfizer, 2,163 reports of anaphylaxis, 11,334 reports of blood clotting disorders, 3,257 cases of I said that already, didn't I?
I think so, yeah.
And then they go into all the sports people that have been harmed. I'll put this in the show notes as well.
That is something, of course, pretty interesting there, too, because we know that on a lower level, you have high school and college students that are really, we've seen a lot of those injuries in this country. But as far as professional level goes, most of those injuries are overseas.
Yeah.
Something tells me, and I've said it before, that American sports are so important to proliferating propaganda, especially in the U.S., which is the final bastion for anything that has to do with real democratic government or democratic sentiments, at least. I really do think that whoever the hell these doctors are for working for the NFL, the NBA and whatever, they're just squirting the shot into a waste paper basket or giving them saline or something. Not that I want to see people go down one, not no way, shape or form. I'm just saying that the disparity between what's going on around the world with professional soccer players and what's not happening in the U.S., it's almost like on the same kind of side, same kind of level of where what we were seeing coming out of China in December and January.
Yeah, the fake.
Yeah. You know, the CCTV video of people dropping dead in the street. And you would think that in New York and California, where we house as many homeless people as we do anything else, that it would just have run through everybody. Not that you want to see dead homeless people all over the place, but you just start taking notes and wondering, okay, well, what's the real story?
Yeah.
Something has to be going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, are they all just getting placebo, or is it that the foreign athletes are all getting the AstraZeneca shot?
Yeah.
You don't know.
No. Yeah. You don't know.
Real quick, I know it's stupid to end on this note, but there was a gentleman who spoke at the rally on Saturday, and we've been working on a story that we were going to publish for lots of months, but he wasn't able to speak out. And now he finally decided that he was going to. And we won't really publish things like that without the person. We won't do unnamed sources say. We don't like to do that. So we wait. And it was the Savannah nuclear site here in South Carolina that's at the center of this. he said in his speech that he gave on Saturday that the government has gone to these federal contractors and said to them, we will pay the attorney's fees for you to battle these vaccine mandate cases in court. So the government is paying the contractors for their attorney's fees to battle the employees fighting against the mandates in court. So your tax dollars are funding your employer's lawsuit against you. Congrats.
Yeah.
Insane. But we'll have a story out on that today, so hopefully it's out by the time the podcast airs. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Morning Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you back here on Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.